You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
And we're going to camp here in this passage for today and for one more week. And because it's so crucial for us, this is really one of the most crucial passages for what we're doing as a church. And so we're going to take a break. Next week, we're going to look at a more topical topic. We're going to look at how to disagree with people who, when we have very strong opinions about things. And the reason we're going to talk about that is because, man, this week has been, it's been brutal. Like, it's been brutal with, I've seen people disagree on topics. And we've just got to figure out, especially as we look to regather, more on that later, we got to figure out how, what it looks like to work together, even when we disagree. And then 2 weeks, we have Christian, who spoke the other week. He's going to be speaking. But I want to camp on this passage because this is so crucial for us. Is anyone else confused? On Monday, the WHO announced that asymptomatic transmission of COVID-19 is very rare. And that was good news for us. And the next day, the very next day, they walked it back. They pretty much said the opposite. And the same person who originally said it's very rare said, oh, it's actually very complex. And information pertaining to the spread of coronavirus is still unknown. And at that point, I wanted to rip my hair out of my head. If I had any, I would have done so. Man, like, could they be any more confusing? The conspiracy theorists, I think they're trying to keep them employed because it's just so confusing. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the WHO. There's a lot we don't know about this virus because it's a novel virus, and we're all still learning. Even the experts are learning. We might not know how the coronavirus spreads, but this passage tells us how Christianity spreads. There's no mystery. With coronavirus, we're still trying to figure it out. But with Christianity, verses 1-2 really give us the key. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And here's the key to how Christianity spreads. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So just three simple stages. Hear, entrust, repeat. Hear, entrust, repeat. Over and over again. Hear, entrust, repeat. So here, Paul just assumes, hey, Timothy, you've heard from me the gospel. Timothy had heard, and he wasn't alone. Paul says that, Timothy, you've heard these words in the presence of faithful witnesses. What was it that Timothy actually heard? Well, we don't have to guess. The book of Acts contains about 10 of Paul's sermons. One day, actually, I read the book of Acts and just focused on the sermons. And what you discover is Paul consistently proclaimed God's word. And Paul, in Acts 20, gives us a summary of what Paul taught. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's about to leave, and he says this, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. So two kinds of settings, right? Public, private, testifying to both Jews and Greeks. And here's the key of the key part of the message, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance meaning a change of direction, turning away from your old way of life, leaving your past behind, turning to Jesus in faith. Two sides of the same coin. And therefore, I testify to you this day, Paul says, that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I mean, so much there. Paul's just saying, man, I've taught you day, I've taught you night, I've taught you in church, I've taught you in the synagogue, I've taught you everywhere I can. And it's all, I've taught you everything in the Word of God. But really what I've taught you is to turn from your sins. Last week we talked about this, racism, turn from, you know, lust, turn away from all of that and turn towards Jesus. And so Paul says, basically, I've just talked about this over and over and over again, how Jesus has done everything required to take sinners and make them completely new creatures in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul preached. That's what Timothy heard. And here he says, you know, this is only three stages, right? Hear, entrust, repeat. Hear, entrust, repeat. I think sometimes it's easy to skip this stage, how important hearing can be. As Paul spoke the words to Timothy, it was so important that Timothy heard and received. This is an important stage of passing on the gospel. I've been reading an important book. I'm about to go through it the second time. It's called What Church Can Be. I can't recommend this book highly enough. He's a pastor in Boston, Matthew Cruz, the guy who wrote this book. And he says, his church is called 7 Mile Road. And he says this, if you spend a month at 7 Mile Road, you'll notice that scripture flavors everything. Every gathering, setting, situation, and rhythm, encounter the words of scripture, read, heard, believed, loved, and obeyed. Sunday mornings, gospel communities, staff meetings, baby dedications, leadership development tracks, planning retreats, membership interviews, conflict resolutions, and yes, even business meetings, all begin with scripture. Hearing from, thinking on, marveling at, and submitting to the canon, the Bible, is the norm. Our songs, sermons, classes, podcasts, liturgies, prayers, and random conversations are always referencing, quoting, and bringing scripture to bear. And he says this, God's words are eternally true. He has spoken on the pages of scripture, and we are convinced, hear this, everyone, I want you to hear this. We are convinced that our deepest joy intersects with our clearest comprehension of what God has said to be true about who he is, what he has done for us, and how he calls us to live. And I want you to hear that again. This is such a, when I read this phrase, I thought this was so good. Our deepest joy intersects with our clearest comprehension of what God says. We want all of our thoughts about God and ourselves to be shaped by the words of scripture. Can I get an amen to that? You're all muted. I hope you're saying amen. That's the kind of church we want to be. We want to hear and speak and hear again the truth of scripture, believing that our deepest joy intersects with our clearest comprehension of what God has revealed. I mentioned this week has been tough. We've been getting competing messages from all over. I'm actually thinking of, you know, for the first time in a long time, I've thought about getting off Facebook. Like, I'm just getting bombarded with some helpful stuff and some unhelpful stuff. In the middle of all this noise, and as we said last week, I don't think we should drown out all the, obviously we shouldn't drown out, then we need to be informed. But man, the noisier this world gets, the more we need the clarity of scripture. The more we need as a church to dig down deep into the truths of scripture. And you being here right now, there's 23 of us on, some multiple people, you being on right now is your investment in saying, hear and trust, repeat. Hear, okay, I'm here to hear scripture. So friends, what I want to say to you is, love your Bible. Love your Bible. If you're going to be contagious with the gospel, that's where it starts. And so get a good case of the Bible yourself. Like, just get a contagious case of Bible addiction. As Matthew Cruz says in the passage that I just read, don't just read scripture, but get wrecked by it. Get corrected by it. Get moved by it. Get enlivened by it. Get inspired by it. Get changed by it on a weekly basis. I used to teach preaching. I taught these students about getting in the Word of God. And I would say to them, you know, like, pick a passage. Your job as a preacher is to preach this passage. But what I would say to them is, midway through the week, as you're studying the passage, you're going to get in a wrestling match because you're trying to produce something that you want to say. And midway through the scripture, midway through the week, the scripture is going to get a hold of you and pin you down on the floor and wreck you. And I said, the key question, I was speaking to preachers, but I think it applies to all of us, is what's going to happen in that moment when scripture pins you down? Are you going to let it win, or are you going to try to prevail on it? And I want to say the challenge for all of us is the same. How do you not just read scripture, but how do you enter this wrestling match with scripture and allow it to pin you to the ground until you're wrecked and corrected and moved, enlivened, inspired, and changed by it on a weekly basis? If you don't have a Bible, I would love to help you get one. It's my treat. I will buy you a Bible. If you don't have a regular Bible habit, I would love to give you the tools for developing that. It's one of the best tools you could ever develop. And you're here, I'm preaching to the choir. If you're not regularly tuning in to hearing scripture preached, man, it's not about the preacher. I'm the preacher, and I'll say, who cares what the preacher thinks? No, I don't even care what the preacher thinks. It has to be about the Bible, and it's one of the most important things we can do as a church. Allow it to shape the way you see the world. I'm convinced right now the world needs a church in Liberty Village. The world might not need it, but man, Liberty Village needs a church in Liberty Village that's picking up his Bible and saying, what does the Bible say about the dignity of all human beings? What does the Bible say how we can love each other in these troubled times? We need this. So let it into your life. Let it wreck you. Let it change you. Meditate on it. Become a Psalm 1 kind of person. You remember Psalm 1? It talks about the way of the wicked. And then it talks about this kind of person who meditates on scripture day and night. Keep showing up being that kind of person. And when you hear me preach, or in 2 weeks when you hear Christian preach, whoever's preaching, never take my word for it. Check the scriptures. Acts 17:11 says, they did this with even Paul himself. They checked to make sure that what he was saying was scriptural. So never trust what I'm saying. Always have, I hope you have a Bible, your app, whatever open. I hope you're always double checking what I'm saying, because what I say doesn't matter. Scripture matters. And we've got to hear over and over and over again. Okay, so that's the first of three stages. That's the kind of church that we need to be. Here's the second stage, entrust. Paul says, okay, what you've heard from me, that's the hearing stage. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. And so here's what it looks like. What does faithful mean? The word faithful, actually, I think in this verse, it just means reliable. And what it means is there's somebody there who's ready to receive the word of God. We used to play a game in, all kinds of different ball games. And we would be throwing a ball and a monkey in the middle or football or whatever. And I remember, looking around and there's this very talented player, but he's blocked. And there's somebody over there who's not very talented, but he's out there waving his arms. He's like, I'm open. And what's, I think Paul is saying here is, look for the people who are open. They might not be the most talented people. They might not be the people that you want to throw the ball to. But they're there and they're saying, they might not even be that smart. They might not even be that advanced spiritually. But they're saying, I'm open. Paul says, look around. Just look for people who are open to receiving the word of God. I don't have to remind you as we're looking at this passage. We're in 2 Timothy. Paul's already said that there's people who oppose the truth. He says that in this chapter in verse 25. He says in later on in chapter 4, there's people who can't stand sound doctrine. So they're not the ones you want to invest in, right? If there's people who are twisting scripture, if there's people who are opposing the truth, who can't stand sound doctrine, they might be smart. Don't invest in those people. But look around. Who are the people who lean in when scripture is open? Who has an interest in learning more? Continually be on the lookout for those people. As I say, they don't even have to be very far along. They could be brand new, they could even be unbelievers, but they're there saying, I'm open. What is it that you believe? Teach me about God. I want to know more. David Helm says this, really good advice. Start praying that God would lead you to someone to whom he is already looking to reveal more of himself. Now, get this. I love this. God is already preparing people to hear more about him. All we have to do is look around. Who are those people that God is preparing? You can be sure that those people exist because God has already told us that the harvest fields are white for harvest. Certainly there will be somebody in your sphere of relationships who knows that you are a Christian, someone who might be interested in reading the Bible with you. Start asking God to lead you to that person. Okay, so what does that mean? What do you do? Like, okay, I've heard the word of God. If you're like, most of us would say, man, I'm not an expert in the Bible. I'll leave that to the professionals to entrust the word. But I think here it's the picture that Paul gives is, you know, we're going to see this in a minute. It's not just the professionals. All of us are given this job to pass it on to others who will pass it on to others. That means if we're passing it on like that, it's not just going to be pastors. It's going to be all of us. So what do we do? I pulled out this t-shirt the other week. I got it for signing up for an online service, and it said, teach everything you know. If you know me, you know I'm not the handiest guy in the world. And I was going over to my daughter to help her paint. They're even, they know less about painting and home repair than I do. And I put on the shirt just because I don't care if it gets paint on it. And Charlene looks at me and she starts laughing. She says, you know, it's going to be a short lesson. You teaching everything you know about painting, it's going to not take very long. Like but I thought it was actually, we had a good laugh about that. It's actually a very good way of looking at it. Teach everything you know. You don't even need to know a lot. You don't have to be an expert. All you have to do is be faithful at passing on what you do know. And so let me ask you, think back to when you were a baby Christian. If you're a Christian now, what do you wish somebody had told you back then? What do you wish that somebody had said to you back when you were a baby Christian? You can teach that. Look for somebody who's a new believer and teach them that. What does it look like for you to follow Jesus? How do you handle Mondays when you wake up and you're cranky and you don't feel like reading the Bible? What struggles have you faced? What victories have you won? What are some ways that you've learned how to pray? You might feel like you're not even good at praying. What have you learned about how to pray? What are you learning from God's word? Teach everything you know. You don't have to know a lot. Just teach everything you know. I guarantee you, everybody on this call is farther along than somebody else. And there, if you see somebody saying, hey, I'm open, you don't even have to know a lot. Just teach what you know. There's a good book called One on One Bible Reading. And I just quoted it, actually, the David Helm quote a minute ago. He says in there, one good way to teach everything you know is simply to open the Bible and say to somebody else, hey, like, I'm learning. I don't know everything myself. Would you be willing just to open the Word of God and we can learn together? He says any committed Christian is capable of initiating a good conversation on a biblical text. He says, be encouraged. If you're a Christian, you have what it takes. Invite someone to read the Bible with you. Rest on the power of the gospel that is his word. The good thing is when you open God's word and you teach to somebody else, it's not just you and them. The Holy Spirit is present there. There's a more powerful force than you. And so he says, rest in the power of the gospel that is his word. And you know that in the power of the Spirit, and through the instrumentality of his word, God will honor your commitment to be in discussion with someone on the message of the gospel. To quote or paraphrase George W. back in the day, this is not rocket surgery. You know, this is simple. We can do this. Just pick up the Bible. You know, just teach somebody. Look for somebody who's open. And just say, hey, can I walk with you? Would you learn with me? I'm just learning myself. Can we learn together? It's simple. All we need is hunger and faithfulness and obedience. Okay, so Paul says here, which is what you're doing now, entrust, you know, look for somebody who's open. Throw the ball to them, you know, invest in them, teach them what you know. And here's the final step. Hear, entrust, repeat. Hear, entrust, repeat. So you've heard the word of God. You're hearing it regularly. You're reading the word of God. You're always looking for somebody who's open, that you can just walk with them and open scripture with them and talk about the word of God with them, formally, informally, friendship, whatever. And here he says, is the final step, repeat. Because as you begin to meet with them, and here's what it could look like, by the way. I have a friend who says, hey, I'm going to Metro. I just want, it's harder to do now with COVID, but would you go to Metro with me? Could we spend these 20 minutes together? Let me just open my life to you. Let me teach you what I know. So hear, repeat, or entrust. Keep entrusting the word. And then he says here, as you're meeting with this person, as you're throwing the ball to them, eventually they'll be able to teach others also. And so picture a relay race. It's not just about you running your lap with the fastest time. It's about the handoff, right? When it's your turn, you could have had the best time, but until you hand it off to somebody else, you haven't run a good relay race. But it's not over, because when you hand it to that next person, you're watching them and you're cheering them on as they hand it off to the next person, and so on and so on. You pass the torch, but the goal is not your solo race. The goal is that you pass it on and they pass it on and so on and so on. And you know the amazing thing? Everybody on this call here today is part of this chain. Years ago, Paul preached the gospel and he told all these Gentiles about Jesus. And they told somebody else and they told somebody else. And one day maybe in heaven we'll have the time to figure out, and they told somebody else, and in the 200s they told, and then, you know, 400 AD they told somebody, and in 1744 they told somebody, and in 2000 and whatever, when you became a believer, that relay was passed to you. And you could take it all the way back. That baton was held by Paul and then by Timothy, and has been passed on to you today. And it doesn't end with us, I hope. I hope, we don't know how coronavirus spreads, but as we're holding this baton right now, Paul's in the grave, Timothy's in the grave, but we're holding the baton. One time Paul held it, and we hold it now. Our job is to receive it. Our job is to pass it on. And then our job is even more than that. It's to cheer the next person on as we pass it on to them, that they pass it on, and so on and so on and so on. As we close today, I want you to think about our church like a hardware store. The other night, Charlene went to Home Depot, and she got the cart, and she's going around. There's like 30-foot ceilings. There's like thousands of items. You want like caulking. It's like, what kind of caulking do you want? Do you want, like, there's 200 kinds of caulking, and everything's all over the place. You're on your own. The call went out at the end of the night. The store is going to close. Associates check the aisles, make sure everybody's out of there. And so Charlene's there thinking, good, help is coming. Well, help doesn't come. And then she eventually finds somebody. She's like, can you help me? And they're like, it's closing time, get out of here. And she left without success. We could be that kind of church. We're not that big, but we could be that kind of church. Overwhelming options, kind of everybody on their own. Just like, good luck. I hope you get what you're looking for. But I write about a different kind of hardware store. I originally didn't get Home Hardware. It's kind of weird, right? You go into Home Hardware, it's not big like Home Depot. You go in there and it's so annoying, because if you want to wander the aisles, they don't let you. They're like, hey, can I help you? What can I do for you? Well, Kevin Miller the pastor talks about this. I love the name of the store, Cooper Wolf's Hardware Store. And picture the Home Hardware here in Liberty Village, except it has an old wood door painted white, except that door is peeled where people have opened the handle over dozens of years. It's just peeled and now it's bare wood. And it's not a big store. There's only two aisles. You go in that store and the counters are filled with stuff. You can't find anything. The shelves are overflowing. Stuff's hanging from the ceiling. You're like, man, no way am I going to find anything in here. but you don't need to. As soon as you walk in the store, Clarence behind the counter says, "How can I help you today?" And if you say, "I want to hang a light out back," he comes out from behind the counter and he says, "Where are you going to hang it? Over the patio?" And then he disappears and he starts rummaging through shelves and he pulls out just the perfect light and says, "This is the light you need." And then he opens a package. "Yeah, they haven't bought the thing yet." And he's like, these bolts aren't going to do you any good. He's like, "Here, let me get you these galvanized bolts. That's what you need." And then he looks at you and he says, "I remember your house. It's brick, right?" And he's never even been to your house, but he knows you. And he says, "Well, you're going to need this part. You're going to need the conduit. You're going to need this masonry drill bit. If I don't have it in stock, go over to Miller's Lumberyard over there. They'll have it." And then he pulls his pencil out behind his ear. He gets out a little piece of paper and he sketches it out. "The conduit goes here. Make sure you don't mount that light too close to the soffit." What am I getting at here? That's actually a great picture of what I want us to be as a church. Kevin Miller says this: sometimes we try to be Home Depot. We have programs that are amazing. We aim for quality and technological sophistication, but something's missing. Clarence. We all need a Clarence, someone who knows more than we do and will guide us on how to grow in Christ. And then Kevin Miller says this. What a great picture, right? I love that. All of us are showing up at church, even on the Zoom call, being Clarences. How can I help? What can I do? Who needs my help right now? Miller says, throughout the Bible, this is the primary way the faith has been passed on. Moses trains Joshua how to lead. Eli trains Samuel in how to pray. Jesus lives with the apostles and teaches them. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, trains up her daughter, Eunice, who trains up Timothy. Paul calls Titus and Timothy his son in the faith. When it comes to helping people grow into spiritual maturity, the Bible gives us the Clarence principle. The older teach the younger, and those more mature in the faith guide those who are newer in the faith. Hear and trust, repeat. Hear and trust, repeat. Teach everything you know. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us to hear your word. I pray that you would help us to be wrecked, corrected, moved, enlivened, inspired, and changed by it. Lord, especially right now with what's going on in the world, Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your word to speak with penetrating insight into the issues our society is facing. But Lord, as we look into the world, we realize it's not just the world that needs changing, it's our hearts that need changing. And so, Lord, would you help us to hear? But then, Lord, would you help us to be on the lookout for others, looking for those who say, "I'm open," so that we can entrust it to them. Lord, would you defeat the lie that we're not far enough along to be able to entrust the gospel to others? Lord, help us not to believe that lie. Help us to teach everything we know. Help us to have the faith to just open the Bible and say to others, "Would you read this with me?" And Lord, would this repeat to the 10th generation as we're now holding the baton that Paul once held, that he gave to Timothy and Timothy passed on to others. And now throughout history, now we're holding that baton. May we pass it on, and would this continue to the 10th generation? Would you make us Clarences, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.